Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I missed being able to do that last Sunday as I was in a congregation making that response. So when I was a full-time pastor, I would do that for like 3 weeks after Easter. And the congregation never knew when it was going to happen. The text which engages us this morning as we continue to celebrate our Savior's resurrection is 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Amen. So stands God's word. Amen. What do you believe in that you cannot see, that you have never seen? I was trying to think of some things, and you know, we can say some things, yeah, well, I've never seen this, but I believe in it. Because we have seen the effects of it. Now, I'm an allergy sufferer, as many of you may be. Spring and fall play havoc with me. And I say, well, I've never seen the pollen, but that's not true. We went outside into the driveway the other day, and it was all over the cars. This green powdery film. So yeah, I've seen that, and I certainly know the effects of it. You could say the wind. Well, I've never seen wind. Well, you've seen the effects of it. You've seen the windmills or maybe the various lawn ornaments that are affected by the breeze. We've certainly seen the effects of storms, wind storms, haven't we? So, yeah, you could say some things we haven't exactly seen, but we've seen what these things do, the effects that they have on us. You know what? And of course, we've all heard that saying, seeing is believing. But sometimes I don't know if that's even true. You can show people something, put it right in front of their face, and they still refuse to believe. I don't get it. I don't understand. But we Missourians living in the show-me state, I don't know if we're more prone to wanting people to show us things before we'll believe it. But do any of you know why Missouri actually got that nickname, the Show Me State? Because if you don't, I'm about to tell you. In 1899, I love history, so Representative Willard D. Van Diver, this is his quote, "Frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I'm from Missouri. You've got to show me." End quote. That's how we got that nickname, the Show Me State. This individual wanted to be given tangible proof that he could see right in front of his eyes. Now, he didn't say anything about touching it or holding it. Maybe that would have convinced him even more. But he at least wanted to see. And all of us have had difficulty believing something that we have never been given proof of. We want that evidence documented, given to us, that we can see and that we can hear, that we can touch. After all, we are only human. We need these things. So, do you think maybe I'm exaggerating? Well, there are people who deny a great many things. Many people deny that we've been to the moon. It was all fake, all set up in a Hollywood soundstage on a back lot somewhere. There are Holocaust deniers. People who deny that it ever happened. It was all made up. There are those who believe that, and I don't know if this fits in the same category, that Elvis is not dead. He's only in hiding somewhere. Or there are those who believe that the earth is flat. We even have two examples from the resurrection of our Savior. The first, from Luke chapter 24. "Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The women come back from the tomb in fear and great joy. They tell the disciples what they have seen, what the angel told them. But they didn't believe. Peter ran to the tomb because he needed to see for himself." And then the account of Thomas from John chapter 20. This was after the first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. The disciples, as we read in the gospel reading, hiding behind locked doors for fear. Again, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And then, just a short week later, disciples are back in the same place, hiding behind locked doors in fear, when Jesus once again appears to them. And Jesus gives to Thomas exactly what he was asking for. Now, we tend to really get on Thomas, don't we? After all, he's referred to as doubting Thomas, right? But didn't Jesus only give to Thomas what he had already given to the other disciples a week earlier? Allowing them to see his hands and his side. Thomas wanted the same thing. And Jesus, in his love and mercy, gave it to him. Here, take it, put out your hand. Put your fingers in the nail marks. Take your hand, put it into my side. But then he said these words, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." And I think it's also interesting that Jesus also said to them, "Peace be with you." Isn't that wonderful? He says to them, "Peace be with you." He brings them, he brings to us, to you and to me and to all who believe in him as Savior and Lord, peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Forgiveness of sins. A right relationship with God through his sacrifice, through his shed blood, through his death, and his glorious resurrection. Through his atoning work, atoning for our sins. Jesus also said, after Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," wouldn't you have liked to seen that? Exactly how Thomas responded. But anyway, Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." How many people are in that category? Think about it. Throughout the years, throughout the generations, all those people, including you and I, who have not seen but yet believe. We didn't see Jesus performed the miraculous signs that prove who he is. We didn't see him feed the 5,000. We didn't see him raise Lazarus from the dead. We didn't see him stand before Pilate on trial. We didn't see him being scourged by the Roman soldiers. We did not see him naked and spit upon and mocked. We did not hear him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We weren't there. We didn't hear or see any of those things. We also didn't hear him speak these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But yet, haven't we not experienced the effects of all of these things? You have not seen him. We do not now see him, but the effects of what he has done and continued to do are with us always. We feel them. We know them. We did not see him after he rose triumphantly from the dead, nor did we see him ascend bodily into heaven to prepare a place for us. But we feel the effects. So, you know, and I'm not just speaking of all of those generations who came after. I'm also speaking of those generations who came before Jesus was even born. Listen to Jesus from Matthew 13. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. All of those Old Testament, as we would call them, believers who did not hear or see these things. You know, but think about it. Are we actually asked to believe without seeing? Are we actually asked to believe without any proof whatsoever? We want to be so quick to condemn people like Thomas or the scribes and Pharisees who refused to believe in Jesus, who demanded more proof, more signs. I don't know what else he could have done. And I've heard people even today who claim that, oh, well, I would have believed in Jesus if I had been there. I wouldn't have needed all that proof or all those signs. Maybe you've thought that, but are any of us so different? Would we have believed? I wonder sometimes about myself. Would I have believed if I was there, seen it? I pray that I would have. But what about the times that we demand signs from God? We pray for the healing of a friend or a loved one, and if they do not recover as we desire, we become angry and we doubt. We pray for God to supply the answer for any number of different needs, and if he does not answer in the way that we desire, same thing. Anger, disappointment, discouragement, doubt. But God has not left us alone. He has not left us without proof. He has not left himself without testimony to us. We believe, teach, and confess that God has indeed revealed himself to us through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he continues to work and reveal himself and his plan of salvation to us through the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, the revealed Word. In Luther's Small Catechism, we read this in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Some will say, I'll believe it when I see it. But we are given all that we need to see. We're not asked to just believe this through our own power, through faith that we have somehow managed to pull up from inside of us. Romans chapter 1 tells us, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We have that natural knowledge of God. We have the revealed knowledge of God in the Word. We have the sacraments. We have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us through these things. So, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, forever keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord.